The reading today is taken from Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 24. It'll be on the screen above, and in the church Bibles it's on page 211 in the New Testament. So it's Philippians 2, 19 to 24. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them are seeking their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's worth, you know. How like a son with a father he has served me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me. And I trust in the Lord that I will also come soon. This is the word of the Lord.
So may I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. do you ever feel you're a bit of a fraud? Okay. People talk about the idea of what's called imposter syndrome, and that we spend our time thinking, I'm going to get found out. Okay. Everybody else is brill. Everybody else is sorted. They're all fine. I'm not. I know that. I'm just waiting to be found out. Is this sounding familiar? Okay. And particularly when it comes to being a Christian, do you ever feel like you're a bit of a rubbish Christian and you can't sort of do this stuff and everybody else is sorted and fine and you're not? Okay, well, join the club. Okay. Join the very, very, very long queue. Why am I saying that? Well, it's interesting. We're going through a series on the letter to the Philippians. So this is Paul writing to Christians in Philippi, which is in northern Greece, named after Alexander the Great's dad, Philip of Macedon. So this is right up north, okay? And he is writing from Rome, where he is in prison. Okay, and there's a really interesting bit in that reading that we had, and it said, I'm hoping to come to you, and you know, all of this, when I know how things are going with me. Okay, when I know how things turn out with me. Now, that's interesting, because Paul is in prison, awaiting trial. It is quite possibly the Emperor Nero that he's going before, not noted for his stability, mentally speaking, and to be honest, pick any emperor round about that period and they're not noted for their mental stability and general charm and kindness. Paul is writing from prison and he keeps on saying, well, I'm hoping to come and visit you. Now that's interesting because he doesn't in the end, because Paul ends up being executed. For those of you who had to put up with me at 9 o'clock a couple of weeks back, one of the things that I was saying was it's interesting that earlier on in this letter, Paul writes to the Philippians and says, I have faith and hope that I will be coming to visit you, but I might not. And that's interesting in and of itself. Some of the time, we actually think being a Christian means being faithful and full of faith, and you shouldn't think that the bad thing might happen. You should just cross your fingers and clap if you believe in fairies. And that's what prayer is, that it's just hoping that everything will be fine and it'll all work out and not admitting the possibility that anything bad might happen. It's quite interesting. Paul keeps on all the way through here saying, I'm really hoping and praying and I really believe that I'll come and see you, but I might not. And while I'm here, I'll send you Timothy. And he sends his trusted friend Timothy to go and visit them in his place because he's in prison awaiting trial. So that's what's going on here. But what about all that stuff about imposter syndrome? Well, it's just quite interesting, isn't it, in terms of what is said about Timothy. Timothy is one of those characters who pops up at various points in the story. This particular point, we hear Paul commending him and saying what a good guy he is. So if we just find that passage, if you want to follow it, it's in the Pew Bibles, but I'll read some bits out of it. So he says here, I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon so that I may be cheered by news of you. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. All of them are seeking their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But Timothy's worth you know. I hope, therefore, to send him to you. Now, what's interesting is that he says, Timothy's worth you know. But one of the interesting things that we probably see from about Timothy elsewhere is that I'm not sure Timothy does. At the back end of 1 Corinthians, we have the bit that very often people don't read. The last bits of New Testament epistles are often a sort of a set of greetings to a whole pile of people. And here's 1 Corinthians 16, verse 10. If Timothy comes, see that he has nothing to fear among you. For he is doing the work of the Lord just as I am. Therefore, let no one despise him. That's interesting. So he writes to the Corinthians, and the Corinthians, let's be honest, are a fairly narky bunch. And he writes to them and he says, Timothy's coming to visit you. If he comes, be nice to him. Don't look down on him. Don't despise him. Some of you will know that actually we have two letters which are written to Timothy. And the second of those has this interesting passage, which I'm guessing some of you will know. For this reason, I remind you to rekindle the gift of God that is within you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. Do not be ashamed then of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel, relying on the power of God who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And on it goes. Paul writes to Timothy and says, take confidence, don't be timid, don't be afraid. God has called you. Don't be ashamed of the testimony. Have that spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And at other points, he says, don't let people look down on you. And that's quite interesting, isn't it? Because actually we tend to look at these people and think, oh, they must be the heroes of faith. They must be the people who are super, super confident and so on. But actually, that's not how it seems to be. So I know I'm sort of expanding slightly on the passage that we've got here. It's a fairly small passage in the book of Philippians. It's a fairly small chunk of it, but he sort of lands on Timothy and talks about him for a bit, and talks about him in glowing terms. And I sort of partly wonder whether he's actually saying, you know his worth, you know his worth, but actually, lots of people don't. He is often misunderestimated. He's often underestimated, that's the wrong word, misunderestimated, that might be a new word. He is often underestimated. He is often done down. And it's quite interesting, isn't it? Okay, I know I've said this before. Does anybody know? So we have this guy who's writing this letter whose name is originally Saul, and then his name is changed to Paul. Anybody know what Paul means? It means short. Yes. Saint Paul is Saint Tiny, Saint Short. It actually says in one of the letters, people say about Paul, well, he's not a particularly plush apostle, really, is he? He's quite short, and he's not a very good public speaker, and he's not this sort of big figure. And that people have a go at him and say he's just not that impressive, really. And Paul, at certain points, seems to doubt himself, and he has his own struggles and his own difficulties, and so on. But in this bit of the letter to the Philippians, Paul writes and says, I'm sending Timothy to you so that I may be cheered. I have no one like him who will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. And that's interesting, isn't it? that he doesn't say, oh, he's such a good preacher, he's such an amazing person, he's such a big personality, he's so sorted in this. He says, he'll just care about you. He will be genuinely concerned for your welfare. And he says that other people are seeking their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ, but Timothy's worth. You know how, like a son with a father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. All the way through Timothy's time as an apostle, people have a bit of a go at him. Timothy was born to a Jewish mother and a Greek father. Okay, so in Harry Potter terms, he's a bit of a mudblood, really. And people would question whether he was properly Jewish. Now, actually, you are. If your mum's Jewish, you are officially Jewish, etc. That's how it works. But they'd say, yeah, but he doesn't speak with the right accent and he's not from the right place. And look at his dad. His dad was a Greek and so on. And at one point, Paul actually has to take him and put him through various rituals just to make sure everybody will take him seriously, because there's that doubt as to whether he's got the right credentials. In the same way as various people had said about Paul, has he got the right credentials? And he has to say, no, actually, I've got something to bring here. I've got something to offer. I've got something to give. The tiny, small man looks at this friend of his who has worked with him so solidly and so strongly and says, be nice to him. And he writes to him and says, don't be afraid. Don't worry. God has given you this calling. And he speaks about the faith that he has and the gifts that he has and the calling that he has. And Paul, who is wondering what his future is, I trust in the Lord that I will also come soon. Paul says, I will send this guy in my place. Be nice to him. He's a good guy. And yes, I'm expanding slightly on what's in the text here, but I wonder if there's some degree of encouragement here. If you're somebody who is not sure what worth you have, if you're somebody who feels timid and doubtful and dubious about your own abilities or credentials or calling or worth, then maybe in the short man who writes to his timid friend, maybe in both of those we can find some encouragement. Some of the time, some of you that in my day job, I spend a lot of time working with people who are exploring whether they're called into different types of Christian ministry and so on. And people will often say, oh, well, I'm just not that great. And, you know, you don't know what's on the inside of my head. Well, nobody does. Nobody knows what's on the inside of any of us except God himself. And most of us are hampered by the fact that we're inside our own heads, but we're not inside everybody else's, and we can't see what's going on in their self-doubt and worry and concern. But if that is you, and you think you've got nothing to offer, then maybe from Mr. Timid and Mr. Tiny, take some hope and some encouragement. May God bless you and be with you in all that he calls you to be and to do in his service.